And 3, 2, 1, hello, Borgen Project volunteers. I'm fighting a cold, but let's give it a shot. The federal government shutdown has now reached deep into America's diplomatic infrastructure. Across the globe, U.S. embassies are running on fumes. 2/3 of staffs have been furloughed, non-essential travel and new programs are frozen, and the employees still on duty aren't quite sure when and if they're going to see a paycheck. At the heart of the standoff in Washington, a fight over who controls the nation's checkbook, Congress or the White House. One of the major sticking points is what's known as a pocket rescission. That's a rather bureaucratic term for when the administration unilaterally decides not to spend money that Congress has already approved. Earlier this month, the Supreme Court allowed the administration to move forward with a $5 billion pocket rescission aimed at international affairs funding. That's $5 billion that expired, vanished at midnight on September 30th, just as the shutdown began. But here's some good news. The original plan was to withhold 3 times that amount, about $16 billion. After loud pushback from Congress, the administration relented and roughly $11 billion was put to work, funding U.S. foreign assistance before the fiscal clock struck 12. Still, $5 billion gone is no small change, even by Washington standards. Now, lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have expressed alarm over the move, arguing that it sets a dangerous precedent. The issue isn't just about foreign aid, it's about the Constitution's separation of powers. One staffer reportedly put it, "Who gets to hold the purse and who's reaching in without asking?" Meanwhile, the real-world impact has been immediate and painful. The administration's decision to cut U.S. foreign assistance to Africa triggered stop-work orders almost overnight. Life-saving health programs, medical research projects were frozen in place. Critical supplies, emergency food, contraceptives, HIV prevention drugs, they now sit idle in warehouses, waiting for funding that may never come. In fiscal 2023, every African country except Eritrea received U.S. aid. 10 of them, including Ethiopia, Somalia, and Nigeria, received more than $9 billion combined to support vaccines and public health programs. But 8 months into the freeze, health officials are reporting a rise in deadly infections due to the shortage of drugs, test kits, and other medical supplies. Some governments have tried to fill the gap themselves, diverting funds from other sectors to public health. But for most, it's like trying to plug a dam with duct tape. World leaders gathered in Washington for the annual World Bank and International Monetary Fund meetings. It's a fitting of somber backdrop. World Bank President Andrzej Banja painted a stark picture. Over the next decade, 1.2 billion young people are expected to enter the labor market, but there will be only 400 million jobs waiting for them. That's an 800 million job shortfall. A lot of restless young people. Banga called job creation the ultimate outcome of development, reminding leaders that without opportunity, all the aid in the world is just a temporary patch. U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, speaking at the meeting, reaffirmed Washington's commitment to the World Bank and IMF, adding a diplomatic twist to a familiar slogan. America first, he says, does not mean America alone. So, as Congress and the White House wrestle over the nation's purse strings and the rest of the world waits, some with empty clinics, others with empty job markets, everyone is hoping the world's largest donor remembers that diplomacy isn't just about speeches and summits. It's about keeping the lights on, literally. I look forward to speaking with you next month.